During the presidential debate last Monday, moderator Bob Schieffer asked one question about U.S. drone strikes, despite the fact that the controversial program is now one of the most cornerstones of our counterterrorism policy. But there is much more to these strikes than just the drones in the air. In a new special report, Washington Post intelligence reporter Greg Miller chronicles a next-generation targeting list called the Disposition Matrix, a secret blueprint for pursuing and killing suspected terrorists. Greg, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
Although they were meant to be a secret, we've known about the government's kill list for a while now. What exactly is the Disposition Matrix?
The matrix is an effort to build on and augment those kill lists that you mentioned that we've known about for some time, and to anticipate a continued kind of morphing by al-Qaeda. So whereas, as you say, for a long time we've had lists where you have the name of an individual the United States is pursuing, the matrix lays out the resources that the United States is devoting to a capture or kill of that individual. So we had a case last year where there was an al-Qaeda suspect named Morsami who was picked up by ship off the coast of Yemen. This is somebody who was not under a drone in Yemen. He was grabbed by ship, held there for 2 months, then brought to the United States and now faces charges here. So the matrix would lay out all of the preparations that are necessary for a contingency like that, somebody who is not necessarily under the surveillance of U.S. drones.
Well, I could see using the word contingency, but what's the significance of using disposition in this context?
Well, that's sort of an Orwellian connotation to the term that they've selected for this matrix. And the disposition means you have a number of options for the dispositions of al-Qaeda suspects that the United States is interested in. One of them, and perhaps the most prominent one, is a drone strike. But there are also other options. There are other countries that are willing to apprehend some of these suspects for the United States, or the United States has on a couple occasions now grabbed them itself.
When did you first become aware of the term?
I heard it, I would say, about a year ago.
Long ago.
And so I had the same reaction to it that you did, just puzzled reaction to the juxtaposition of those two words, disposition and matrix.
Yeah. Well, I've seen the film The Matrix. It didn't put me in a very good disposition. What state was the drone program in when President Bush left office?
Well, the drone program was well underway, obviously in Pakistan primarily. But it was still relatively modest at that time. I mean, there had been dozens of strikes in Pakistan when Bush left office. Since then, there have been hundreds more, not only in Pakistan, but in Yemen. There had been only one drone strike in Yemen that we knew of during the Bush administration. There now have been several dozen by the Obama administration, in addition to some also in Somalia. So the campaign has really expanded tremendously.
And do you have any idea of why they made such a commitment to it? We're talking about 334 drone strikes in Pakistan alone since 2004.
Well, I think the reason why, I think the best answer to that is probably the words that Leon Panetta used while he was CIA director and sort of blurted out when asked about this program that it's the only game in town. There are places like in Pakistan or Yemen where the United States' ability to put people on the ground, or willingness to put people on the ground to engage in operations that would be far more risky, is not much. So the drone is such an enticing technology, a way to pursue adversaries at little risk to United States personnel, highly effective and highly accurate.
But how accurate is it? One of the arguments we are hearing from Pakistan defending some pretty awful things that have happened in that country is they're not any worse than U.S. drone strikes, which considerable collateral damage. Women and children are killed along with terrorists, also innocent bystanders, men.
That's undoubtedly true. But I think the administration officials would argue that toll would be far worse if the United States were forced to rely on cruise missiles or other aircraft, or even troops on the ground conducting raids and operations into Pakistani cities and villages. So it's far from perfect, and there is a toll. And you're also pointing to something else. I mean, just the idea that there have been 3,000 deaths by drone strike over the past 10 years suggests a magnitude to this campaign.
And not just in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Yemen. Haven't we had a few in other places as well?
There's been a scattering of them in other places, including Somalia.
Do we know what criteria the U.S. government uses when it's determining who's worthy of being killed by a drone strike?
We know the outlines of the criteria, but we know very little about the details of that criteria. And so, broadly, even the president has said that the United States will conduct these operations only when it believes that it is confronted with a threat. It is trying to kill individuals who are planning to harm the United States or its people abroad. But how they make those determinations on a case-by-case basis is really shrouded in significant secrecy.
You write, less visible is the extent of which Obama has institutionalized the highly classified practice of targeted killing, transforming ad hoc elements into a counterterrorism infrastructure capable of sustaining a seemingly permanent war. Administration is convinced this will never end?
I don't know if they think never, but they struggle to point to an end date. They struggle. Senior officials that we interviewed for this series of stories struggled to say, well, what would cause the United States to park these armed drones? It's just nowhere. It's not a point that they can see or visualize on the horizon. I mean, the closest you get to an answer to that is, well, when there is no longer a threat. And who can predict when that day might come?
Well, al-Qaeda has been weakened, according to the president, and Osama bin Laden has been killed, although not by a drone strike. We've already withdrawn from Iraq, we're withdrawing from Afghanistan. Is there a sense in Washington that the war on terror will only continue to accelerate despite all of that?
I don't know that it will accelerate, but it's probably going to morph. I mean, we've seen a decline in the number of drone strikes in Pakistan. In 2010, there were over 100. This year, there are some 30 or so far. So it has slowed down there, but it is the trouble for this administration and whatever the next one is, when you look across what's happened in the Middle East or North Africa, there's a great deal of concern about where al-Qaeda might surface next. And so it may be in places where the United States is not patrolling with drones right now. But, I mean, your more fundamental question is really important. I mean, what is al-Qaeda at this point? Because the members of al-Qaeda who were directly involved in the September 11, 2001 attacks are either long gone or in custody, with very few exceptions. So the United States is no longer really at war with that core al-Qaeda group. That group has been defeated, but it has morphed since then.
There's been mission creep, in effect.
Sure, and new adversaries have emerged. I mean, the United States now considers al-Qaeda's affiliate in Yemen as a more serious threat than the al-Qaeda in Pakistan. Al-Qaeda in Yemen has been behind three fairly recent and nearly successful bomb plots, including the attempt to take down a Detroit-bound airliner on Christmas Day in 2009.
And Anwar al-Awlaki, the U.S.-born cleric who was killed by a drone strike in Yemen, became the subject of quite a bit of controversy because he was a U.S. citizen. There is concern in some circles that we're just killing without getting any judicial okay for this sort of thing. Is anybody who is deemed by the Obama administration to be a terrorist simply a target?
Well, I mean, that's one of the fundamental questions. And that strike that you mentioned, that death, is under legal challenge by the ACLU and others, which alleges that this is all happening without due process and with very little transparency. I mean, decisions to kill U.S. citizens abroad without disclosing the legal basis for that, the legal memorandum that underpinned those decisions. And it's not just al-Awlaki. I mean, 2 weeks after he was killed in a drone strike, his 16-year-old son, who was also a U.S. citizen and who was never accused of being linked with al-Qaeda or any terrorist plot was also killed.
You also describe what are called, and I can only imagine that it's described jokingly, Terror Tuesday meetings. Who's present at these meetings, and what's being discussed at them?
Those are White House meetings, and they're broadly devoted to the subject of terrorism. The president is there. His top terrorism advisor, John Brennan, is there. CIA officials are there. National counterterrorism officials are there. Those are weekly briefings on the progress of the war on terror. Where are the new threats emerging? What's happening? And those are not necessarily meetings where decisions are being made on who's going to be added to the United States target list. Those are more broad discussions of terrorism trends.
Bruce Riedel, a former CIA analyst and Obama counterterrorism advisor, told you, the problem with the drone is it's like your lawnmower. You've got to mow the lawn all the time. The minute you stop mowing, the grass is going to grow back. So this sounds like a self-perpetuating process.
Exactly, and that's the trouble. And Obama administration's officials will acknowledge that that is the problem with the drone campaign. You heard even Mitt Romney the other day in the presidential debate say we're not going to kill our way out of this. And one of the questions is this, as this moves into another decade potentially, is what are the net costs here? So drones have been proven pretty effective at targeting terrorist suspects and perhaps even disrupting plots, but there is much less known about what are the long-term implications of these strikes. How many additional enemies do you breed when you are shooting into villages in northwest Pakistan or in Yemen?
And a listener wonders what happens to the technology when a drone crashes in places like Pakistan or over other hostile countries. People can look at them and develop their own drones, can't they?
Well, a number of nations already have developed their own drones. And the basic technology behind Predators and Reapers, which are the sort of the most basic model drones, those are not really considered sensitive secrets. It was a much bigger deal last year when the United States lost a stealth drone in Iran. A drone that was designed to do surveillance of Iran's nuclear program crashed inside that country and gave Iran the ability to examine it very closely.
Well, you said that these may be fueling more terrorism. When you spoke to people involved, did any of them talk about the unpopularity of these strikes?
Yeah, and I think that is, the Obama officials, including Brennan, would say, look, that's an important consideration for us. That is a reason that we've tried to put additional constraints on the drone campaign in Pakistan, for example. But, the bottom line is these target lists, they sort of expand and contract with the pace of drone strikes, but never get to zero.
My guest is Greg Miller, intelligence reporter for The Washington Post. Just one more question, and we have to you have to answer it very quickly.
Okay.
In his response to Bob Schieffer's question on Monday, Mitt Romney also said the president was correct to use drones. Is there pretty much a bipartisan consensus in Washington on this issue?
Within the government? There are very few people who would argue that the drone program ought to be dismantled. Perhaps Dennis Kucinich is among the few who would take that position.
So Republicans, Democrats, whoever wins the election, we're going to see a lot more drone strikes.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Thank you so much, Greg. Greg Miller, as I said, is the intelligence reporter at The Washington Post. We've been talking about a new development that we're just learning about called Disposition Matrix.